Man, I want to welcome all of you. I want to welcome all of you that are watching online. And why don't we give our online campus a big, big God bless you. Let them know how much we appreciate them, much as we appreciate you being here. My name is Obed. I'm the lead pastor of Destiny Church in the Palm Springs area in Indio, California, man. And man, just so honored to be here. We're a Do Something Church. We've been just incredibly impacted by Pastor Miles and the Rock Church. And man, it has really taken our church to an H&L, a whole nother level. So yeah, we really love it, man. And so we love Pastor Miles and we love the Rock Church. And I want to take this time to honor your pastor because I'm so privileged to be here. So can we take this time to honor Pastor Miles and the Rock with the staff? They've been incredible all day and they're really doing a phenomenal job. But so glad to be here. We're all family. The Bible says we're all one big family, even though we're part of different churches. We're all part of the same cause of Christ. And so everywhere I go, man, I like to show you my family. I think you ought to see my family. You can see that I'm married up. But here's my lovely wife and my two little kids, 4 and 2, Jaden and Judah. And you can see the other handsome guy that's there. No, I'm joking. But yeah, I married up, and so it's really good. I love my family, and you know, my family is my primary ministry, and that's what it's all about. So you ready to get in the Word today?
Yeah.
They told me, they said, Pastor Obed, this is the rowdiest crowd, 7 o'clock. So, I mean, I got to tell you, 8 o'clock was rowdy. They was 10 o'clock was like, whoa. I mean, they had it going on. 12 o'clock was like off the charts. 5 o'clock, you know, they were ready to go have dinner. But come on, 7 o'clock, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you slept in, had an espresso already, you know what I mean? So it's all good. So you ready to dive into the Word of God?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you so much. You're an incredible God. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the 7 o'clock crowd today, God. And we just love you today, and we bless you in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen, amen. 8 years ago, my wife and I, we moved from L.A. to start a church, really a revolution, a movement. And like anything, it was a dream. But like my life growing up, my life was in all kinds of different places. I was raised in a Christian home. Ever since I was a kid, all the way till 9 years old, my mother picked us up from school every single day. She was heading up the prayer meeting in our church. So I remember doing my homework on the pew of the front row of our church till I was 9 years old. I had one of those moms that was like just amazing, just like a prayer warrior. I mean, just awesome. One of those moms that would look at you and say, the devil's on you right now. One of those moms, you know, one of those moms that when you brought a friend home, you're like, Mom, I want you to meet my friend. And your friend would leave and they say, that person needs to not come back to the house no more. They brought some spirits in this place. That's what kind of home I grew up in. One of those homes, you know, we go to church, start off at early in the morning. Mom would get us up and, you know, you didn't get out of bed. She grabbed your ears. Come on, do I have some people like that? Grabbed your ears like, you gonna get up and you gonna go to church. And so you didn't have a choice. I was like, Mama, I ain't going to church. She says, as long as you live in this house, you ain't paying no rent, you going to church. And so she'd drag us out of bed and then, you know, we'd go to church. I came from one of them churches, man, where the pastor preached for about, you know, 3 hours. And then you had night service, and you had to come back to night service, you know. And night service, man, it was like they didn't finish worship till like 9 o'clock. And that's the kind of church I grew up in, man. It was crazy. But yet I saw so much stuff in the church. I'm a fourth generation pastor in my family, and my father kind of made some mistakes in life, shattered my family. The blessing about it is that I got to see at the end my mom and dad be restored. But I was this young boy looking for hope, looking for friends, and I found them in the wrong places. Started getting hooked on drugs and alcohol. By the time I was 12 years old, I got jumped into the neighborhood, and I was in and out of jail, kicked out of schools. And then when I was 15, I did something I shouldn't have done, and I had to spend a little bit of time in jail. And in that time, all my friends that told me, hey, I got your back, I'm gonna be there, never wrote a letter, never came by to visit me. But my mom, who never drives on the freeways or the interstate, would catch the bus every weekend for 6 months to come and see me. That Monday, I got out, and she says, son, Wednesday night, I want you to go to youth group. Would you go to youth group? I'm like, Mom, I'm not going to go to church. She's like, son, I think it'd be great for you. You need to go to church. I'm like, Mom, I don't want to go to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. She goes, I know, you'll fit in, blend in. Be really good for you to go. And I'm like, Mom, no, I don't want to go to church. And she's like, mijo, I want to see you every week, and the one thing at least you could do is go to church. I said, Mom, I'm not going to church. I'm sorry. I'm not going to church. She goes, son, there are going to be a lot of pretty girls at church. I said, oh, okay, then I'm going to church, you know. So I went to church that Wednesday. You know when you first go to church, but you don't really want to go to church. You kind of act hard, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you got your hands crossed over your chest, and you kind of staring down everybody like, who's you? And, you know, you're looking at everybody, and you know, and then the worship leader comes up. You know, the worship leader, they're always really, like, enthusiastic and all this kind of stuff. And they're like, everybody, lift your hands. And I'm like, why am I going to lift my hands? I mean, I got tired of lifting my hands. You know, every day would go to lunch, I had to do this. You know what I mean? So I'm like, man, it brought back memories for me. I ain't lifting my hands. But I was just there, man, and the youth pastor came up and he said, hey, we're going to youth camp. But it sold out. Want everybody to know you got to meet here. And kind of back of my head, I was like, man, I don't want to go. The next day, Thursday came, and my mom said, hey, the youth pastor's on the phone. He wants to talk to you. I'm like, I didn't do nothing, you know. And he goes, no. She goes, no, he really wants to talk to you. So I get on the phone. I'm like, what's up? And he said, hey, we're going to youth camp tomorrow. I said, oh, yeah, I know. It's sold out, right? He goes, no. Man, we got one spot left. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go. And he's like, no, you need to go. I go, dude, I don't want to go. And he goes, your mom paid for you to go. I'm like, there's no way my mom could have paid for me to go because my dad at that time, LA County Fire Department, was on strike. She didn't have the money. I couldn't go. He goes, no, your mom paid for it. She gave her last $60 for you to go to camp. I said, well, I'll double it, but I'm not going. And he goes, Obed, listen, there's 8 hours of basketball, 3 hours of church. You're going to love it. I said, dude, I'm not going. He goes, listen, there's going to be a lot of pretty girls there. I said, okay, I'm going to go. So Friday came, and we got to camp, and they gave us this whole, you know, schedule of what the camp was all about. And it was like church, basketball, church, basketball. I was like, man, this dude lied. I mean, he's a youth pastor. He needs to get saved. Got frustrated, man. I came to service that night late because I wanted to sit in the back because all the front row are holy rollers. So I wanted to sit all the way in the back. And I was in the back of the service, and I was kind of looking at everybody, and I was kind of scoping out, like, what girl am I going to hook up with? Because, you know, camp, you know, usually hook up with people. This would be a good place. I need to hook up with somebody, especially a Christian girl, you know. And you know, so I'm looking around, and my youth pastor taps me on my shoulder, and he goes, what are you sitting back here for? I said, well, because I want to sit back here. And he says, well, we got a seat for you in the front. And I'm like, no, dude, I already, you know, I mean, I glanced over there. It's all filled up. He goes, no, we got one more seat up there for you. And so I'm like, man, I don't want to go up there. But then I figured, well, that's where all the holy rollers are. I need to go. I want me a chick. So I walked over there. He walked me over there. So I'm in the front row. You know when you first come to church and, like, everybody's worshiping and, like, you know, like they're doing like windshield wipers, you know what I mean? Like that, right? And so I'm like, I feel uncomfortable. I don't want to lift my hands, but I realize if I don't lift my hands, then, you know, no girl's going to like me or nothing like that. So I kind of do what most men do. You know, when they first come to church, they're like, they at least come to my church and they go, oh, dude, I'm not lifting my hands. I'll tell you right now, you're never going to get me to lift my hands in your church. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll give you 3 months. You know, and they, you know, they kind of start off like this. Look around and stuff, right? And then, you know, a man, he'll kind of do this, and he'll look at his wife, and his wife, look, he'll put it down like that, doesn't want her to look. And then finally, he'll kind of lift his hands, and you know he kind of really lifts his hands. I always know when a man first lifts his hand in my church because I see the response of his wife. His wife's like, oh, my God, he's finally lifted up his hands. It's amazing, right? It's a God moment, right? So that was me, man. So I was like, I said, man, if I lift my hands, maybe some girl will look at me like me. I can fall in love. And so I lifted my hands, but I was looking around because I wanted everyone to see me like, hey, chick, look at me. I'm lifting my hands right now. I'm a Christian. I love God. I'm going to take you to your promised land. Okay, here it is, right? And And as soon as I lifted my hands, it was like all of heaven fell on me. It's like I went to sleep for 2 hours. I woke up. I was this new person. And I heard this voice. And that voice said this, "Obed, you can dream again." I looked around. Who said that? And it was the first time I heard God speak to me. And he said, "Obed, you can dream again." And in the 80 years of my church, it's been built upon those words. Hey, church, you can dream again. Because let's face it, man, a lot of us in life have been crushed. A lot of us have had broken promises. A lot of us have trusted people and placed our hearts in the hands of people just for us to be dropped once again. And we lose that innocence of being that child when we would lay on the grass and we would look up and we say, "Man, I'm dreaming to be a fireman. I'm dreaming to be a ballerina." And it's almost like we lost this childlike faith in the church because of the past and the pain and the hurt and all these things we've gone through, that it stopped us from dreaming. And I learned a long time ago, the day you stop dreaming is the day you stop living. And our church is what's it been about? What's my life been about? And I've discovered that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he says, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." I mean, this gift that God gives us, he says, "Thanks be to God because it's indescribable." And yes, this gift is indescribable, because how do you describe the God that takes a broken life and restores them? How do you describe God when he takes somebody whose mind is going crazy and he gives them the peace that surpasses all understanding? How do you take that God that when you're in the valley and you're worried, God says, "Don't worry about it, I'm right there with you. You're gonna get to the mountaintop." God is this indescribable God. And I opened up my life that night on July 8th, 1989. To this indescribable gift named Jesus. And it all began with number one. It all began with this, that the first thing I had to do was that I had to open my heart to the gift. I had to open my heart to the gift. You know, we just celebrated Christmas, and everybody got gifts. Now, Christmas is still in the spirit, so if you still want to get me a gift, the bookstore is open. I'll be right here afterwards. We all celebrated and got gifts. And just like you, I have kids, and I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I asked my daughter, I said, "Sweetheart, what do you want for Christmas?" And she says, Daddy, I want a Rapunzel dollhouse." I said, "Okay." So I looked at all the stores, and everybody was sold out except one, which was Sam's Club. So I'm one of those Black Friday expert shoppers. That's who I am. Not the Walmart crazies, but the other ones. But so I'm always prepared Black Friday. I mean, I got it down packed. So I got to Sam's Club around 10:30 at night, and I was the 10th person in line. There was 9 other people in front of me. And I noticed that the lady in front of me, her and her daughter, didn't have no chairs. And I'm like, "Ma'am, are you guys planning on being here all night?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, do you guys have any chairs?" And she says, "No, I don't have no chairs." I said, "Well, I just want to let you know, my name's Obed, and I'm the Black Friday expert. And so I have extra chairs in my car. They're USC chairs." So I grabbed my USC chairs, my USC Trojan chairs. I grabbed them for her, and I let her sit on there. And then I said, "Well, ma'am, it's going to get cold at night. It's going to drop to below 40, and I don't see that you have blankets. Do you have any blankets?" She goes, "No, I don't have any blankets." I said, "Well, I'm the Black Friday expert shopper. So I have some USC blankets in my car." And so I grabbed the USC blankets, and I gave them to her. And then I noticed around 2:00 in the morning, everybody was hungry, but nothing's open. So I went around. I said, "Is everyone hungry?" By this time, there was probably about 50 people. And they're like, "Well, there's nothing open." I said, "Well, don't worry about it, because in my car, I have my USC ice chest. And it has yogurts and sandwiches." So I went around selling everything. No, I'm just kidding. I gave it all away. I was like, "Here, you want some yogurts?" And they're like, "Dude, how did you do this?" I go, "I'm the Black Friday expert shopper, man. That's who I am." And then everyone kind of fell asleep and woke up. And it was really cold. Really cold. And I said, "Man, we need a heater." I said, don't worry about that. I got that in my car. So I brought the heater out. I lit it up. Man, it was great. Everyone was hot. And then around 5 o'clock in the morning, you could tell everyone was hungry again. And I said, I walked around. I said, hey, does anybody want some eggs? And they're like, what are you doing? Are you going to go get them? I go, no. I got my USC grill in my car. And so me and my buddy hooked up all these eggs for people. Man, they were loving on us, man. And I was telling them about the church. And so I was so excited at 7 o'clock in the morning because I got that tag that says, you get the Rapunzel dollhouse. And all I can think about, man, was like, man, when my daughter opens this up, she is going to love daddy. I mean, absolutely love daddy. And so I couldn't wait. So I knew where the gift was. And so I'm the one that grabbed it on Christmas morning. And I went up to her, I said, Jaden, here's your gift from daddy. And she goes, daddy, it's so big. I said, I know, it's so big. And she says, I said, open it up. And she just tears it up, right? She looks at it. Her eyes get so big. She goes, daddy. She goes, you got me my Rapunzel dollhouse. And she gives me this hug, and my heart literally began to melt, man, and almost fell to the ground until she said, well, where's my next gift? I sat there, and I'm like, girl, I really want to grab your neck right now, lift you up, but I'm a pastor. They're going to call CPS, and I can't have you at my house today. But see, here's the thing, that she saw the gift, but she didn't see the 14 hours at night that I stood in line to get the gift. She didn't see the sacrifice that I had to pay, the money that I had to pay for it. And that was my life, because I was raised in church. And every Sunday, the pastor would go up there and he would present this gift called Jesus Christ. And I would sit there and say, well, not this week, because what I saw was a gift. But I didn't see the sacrifice that went behind it. I didn't see the 39 stripes on his back. I didn't see the crown of thorns on his head. I didn't see his hands and his feet pierced. I didn't see it until one day. Until one day, I stopped sending the gift back to the sender. You see, for most of us that are here tonight, you can tell me what you've been saved from, but very few people can say what they've been saved for. Why would God choose you? It's not like you chose God. It's not like I chose God. It wasn't that I was, God was lost. It was I was lost. You know, people say, Pastor Obed, I found God. I'm like, I didn't know he was lost. No, he found you. He chose you. Why would God choose me? Why would God choose you when my past was so messed up? And I often think about the disciples in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus walks up and he says, drop your nets and follow me. And they're like, dude, hold on real quick, because you don't get it. We're doing our family business. We're fishermen. And Jesus is like, no, drop your nets and follow me. And they're like, Jesus, you know what it's about. Why are you here? And here's what's so amazing about our Savior, that when it was his time to pick his followers, he didn't go to Jerusalem University or Bethlehem Seminary. That's what he did. He went to the shores of Galilee and found some men doing their family business. Because see, back in those days, in order for you to follow a rabbi, at the age of 12, you had to go before the rabbis in the synagogue and quote the Torah from Deuteronomy to Genesis. And if you missed one word, you were disqualified from ever following a rabbi. It's why you see Jews today, and a lot of them throughout the day, are studying the Torah, because it's the responsibility for them to memorize each word. But by the time the age of 12, if they miss a word, they're disqualified from ever following a rabbi. So when you fast forward, Jesus goes and sees these guys and they're doing their family business, which lets you and I know that at the age of 12, when they went before a rabbi, they didn't pass the test and they were disqualified from ever following one. And so they're like, Jesus is like, hey, drop your nets and follow me. They're like, no. You don't understand. We messed up in the past. And here's the kind of rabbi Jesus was presenting himself as. I've come to requalify the disqualified. And can I tell you that sin disqualified us from following Christ? But Jesus came and he requalified the disqualified. So you got to stop blaming your past, because your past cannot cancel your future. Your past doesn't dictate who you are. You are a child of the Most High God. You got a dream inside of you that God didn't give up on you. He's still for you. He's on your side. He requalified you to be the person you were called to be. But how does that happen? By opening up the gift. See, your for is bigger than your from. It's like a 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Paul said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. He's speaking to us a picture of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It's metamorphosis in Greek. Think about it. A caterpillar goes into the cocoon. And when a caterpillar goes into a cocoon, it loses its ability to ever crawl again. It sheds it all off. And then from within is the ability to fly. And so it waits in the cocoon to shed off everything that it did as a caterpillar to never crawl again, but eventually flourish to become this butterfly and to fly. And so when it breaks out of the cocoon, it begins to fly. When was the last time you ever saw a butterfly return to being a caterpillar? It doesn't happen. The way God transforms your life is that he takes you from being a caterpillar where you crawled your way, and all of a sudden he saved you. He wrapped you. He's developing you. And all of a sudden you come out with this brand new creation. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're flying like a butterfly. You're stinging like a bee. No, I'm joking, but you're flying like a butterfly. But listen, you never return back to being a caterpillar. My friends, let me tell you something. Everything about your past, when you open up that gift, is shed off of you. Even to the point that God chooses to forget about it. But it won't happen unless you open up the gift. The second thing you got to do is you got to open up your hand with the gift. You got to open up a hand with the gift. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And I was one of those in the church. That was me. I mean, I used to say, all the church wants is your money. But Walmart wants it, and Target, and Nordstrom's, they all want it too. But that was me. I was like, man, all the church wants is your money. And one day God spoke to me and he says, read the next sentence of why you're to tithe, that there may be food in the house. I remember coming to church hungry. I tried everything to fill me up, but it didn't happen. I remember coming to church thirsty. I tried alcohol, but it didn't satisfy my thirst. It's not until I drank from the living well of Christ where my thirst was quenched. And can I tell you that every time you give, you're making sure the pantry is filled so that when broken and hurting people like yourself come to the rock, there is food to be served. The bread of the word, the milk of the word, the meat of the word. There is the living water to the point that their thirst will be quenched. It's why you give. The Bible goes on to say, and he says this, he says, prove me, test me, that I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you have room enough not to contain. You see, a window, all a window is it's a medium, it's a divider between two environments. Here I am, I'm on this side, and there's the other side. It's like when your house is stuffy. What do you do when your house is stuffy? What do? You get the windows and you open them up. You never think, man, is there really air on the other side? You never think that, because you know there is air on the other side, but your house will remain the way it is unless you open up the window. Here's what tithing is about. It's easy. When we worship God, as we did today collectively, the heavens open. God makes the rock his habitation because he dwells in the place of worship. Together we can open up the heavens, but it's only you that can open up your window. I can't open up your window. Pastor Miles can't open up your window. You're the only person that can open up your window. And how do you do it? By trusting God, by understanding that there's something greater on the other side of this environment than the environment you're in right now. If you don't doubt that the answer for your need is on the other side when your house is stuffy, then why do you doubt the God that can supply your needs when your needs are on the other side? So I sit there, and I was one of those. And I was like, my window was closed, but I'd sit there and say, oh, God, I need you to bless me. God, would you please bless me with a new job? And God goes, yeah, I got that for you, Obed. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Here it is. And I'm like, oh, God, I need a raise. I need a promotion. God, would you just trust me with that? And he says, Obed, I got it for you because, man, it, you know, promotion doesn't come from the east to west. It comes from the north. It comes from God. I got it for you, Obed. It's one of my promises. And he's like, I'll give it to you. And then we get frustrated. God, why aren't you answering my prayers? And God's like, I am. I have it. I just can't get it to you because your window's closed. I need you to open up your window. Because here's what happens when you and I give. When you and I give and we give what belongs in our hands to God, the little that we have. This is what we're doing. We're not taking an envelope and sticking it in a bucket. Here's what we're doing. We're taking what's in our environment and we're placing it in his environment. And he blesses what's in my hand in his environment. And he multiplies it back into my environment. In other words, worship keeps you under an open heaven, but giving keeps you under an open window. And so when you're sitting there and you're saying, God, I wanna be blessed, God goes, yeah, I got it for you, dude. It's right here, take it. There it is. Oh, I got your family too, your family salvation. Yeah, there it is. Oh, the restoration of your marriage. Oh, yeah, it's right there. God can supernaturally bless you when he can trust you what he's placed in your hand. If you're faithful with what you got, he'll reward you with the big. How many know we serve that kind of God? So what do I got to do, man? I got to be able to open up my hand as much as I've opened up my heart. You're in a campaign right now. You guys are able to expand the kingdom. It's an opportunity to open up a window. And lastly, number three, the last thing I'm going to do is open up my life to be a gift. I'm going to open up my heart to the gift. I'm going to open up my hand with the gift. And lastly, I'm going to open up my life to be a gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift. Use it to help others. Can I tell you why the devil was after you? Not because you're good looking. Because he wants to kill the gift that's inside of you. It's what he's after. Because think about a teacher. If the teacher would never use their gift, we'd remain uneducated. Think if a doctor never used his gift. There'd be a lot more sickness in our world today. Everybody's dream is attached to somebody else. And there's somebody out there that needs your gift. My life starts by opening up my heart to be a gift. Then it leads me to open my hand with the gift. And then finally, my life becomes the gift. There comes a time in your life when you're in need of a miracle. And you mature to become the miracle. I think about a guy named Joel in my church. 5 years ago, he was homeless, living under a bridge, hooked on heroin. Had a dream that God led him to a church. The following weekend, he comes to Destiny. Hears the message, and he comes coming down the aisles, and he gives his heart to Jesus Christ. He opened up his heart to the gift. He found a job as a custodian and he opened up his hands with the gift. And now today, his life is a gift because 5 years later, after graduating from Bible college and becoming a minister, he's our outreach director at our church. And over 100 volunteers every Saturday go under all the bridges in the Coachella Valley and bring blankets and food, but most importantly, bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the hopeless and the helpless and the homeless because one person was willing to open up a gift. And then I think about Billy, a 19-year-old who graduated from high school, and one thing led to the other, to the point that he got hooked on Oxycontin, speed. He lands up going to the hospital one day. He thinks something's happening, but he doesn't think it's that serious until the doctor said, we need to take more scans of you. They finally come to him and they say, Billy, you have cancer. And we don't know how long you're going to live. That weekend, he came walking down the aisles of Destiny Church and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He said, God, whatever you want to do in my life, just use me. Now Billy is in Bible college training to be a youth pastor. God is using him in a marvelous way. And can I say this? Can I say this? That Billy is 100% cancer free. That God has healed his cancer. What is it about? It's about opening up your heart to the gift. It's about opening up your hands with the gift. And it's about opening up your life to be a gift. A year and a half ago, we came to The Rock for a Do Something Summit with about 40 other pastors. And Pastor Miles was leading in with the staff. And they were talking about outreach. I remember leaving going, man, that's what I want to do with my community. And his last session was about winning the heart of your mayor. He said, we even have it on CD. And so I'll never forget, I was driving down the 10 freeway. Everybody was asleep. I slipped in that CD. And he's giving the steps of how to win your mayor. And I'm going, God, let it happen to us. So we started doing our Do Something outreaches. And we started doing all these things in our community. And this one big project came for us to literally clean a quarter of our city with hundreds of volunteers. The mayor shows up. He's like, I want to meet the pastor. And so, you know, I introduced myself to him, and he's like, no, for real, you're the pastor? I'm like, yeah, I'm the pastor. And he goes, man, I just want to tell you, I just hear so much about Destiny, what you guys are doing for community. It's awesome. He says, what time are your services? I gave him the time. That next day, which was Sunday, 8:30 service, I get news that he's in our service, him and his wife. But at the end of the service, when I give the altar call, my eyes are closed, and when I look up to the left of the stage, I see the mayor and his wife at the altar weeping before God. God transforming their lives because of Do Something. He said, Pastor, he says, now I know why God saved me. He wants me to change. He wants me to help change people's lives. And he goes, the first thing I'm going to do when I get back, I'm going to reinstitute prayer back into our city council meetings before they start. It's been away for 28 years in our city, but because God got a hold of his life, come on, how many know God can do that in Jesus' name? And God changed his life, and now he's running for state. Now he's running for state senate, and he's happy, man. He's probably going to win. It's going to be incredible. But I told him over the Christmas holidays, as we were passing out thousands of gifts to all these different places that we worked with because of Do Something, because of what you guys have taught us to do in the Coachella Valley, man. I said, hey, guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be at The Rock. I'm going to be at the church that taught us Do Something. He says, would you mind? Would you mind if I say something to them? Because if it wasn't for Do Something, I'd have probably never found Christ. Here's our mayor wanting to say something to you today.
My name is Glenn Miller, councilman for the beautiful city of Indio and home to Destiny Church. I want to take this time to thank Pastor Miles and the Rock Church family for introducing Do Something Outreach Program to Destiny Church. Through this great outreach program, Destiny has helped me as mayor to support the city of Indio with painting homes, cleaning the city, feeding the homeless, and supporting many other organizations. I'm a part of the Destiny family and proud to be a part of the Do Something Church. On behalf of the city of Indio, God bless.
Times. That's not the same as being it's a love just for the community as a whole. You know, Indio is a very diverse community. You know, we get along very well, and everybody here just helps everyone else. It's just a family-orientated event, and because of Destiny Church relationship that they've just bridged with the city and given back to the community and everything. It's, if it wasn't for Destiny Church and the great people in our congregation, this wouldn't be happening.
It's more than do something. We are actually doing something, Pastor. So it's really a blessing to be out here and have your organization help out. And that's how things happen.
Thank Destiny Church for everything you guys have done for us. This essentially began with an idea from one of the residents. And we didn't have the resources to do any of this. So after our conversation at City Hall, you guys came through in a big way and truly are doing God's work. You guys are God's hands and feet in this. So we appreciate that on behalf of the city. But you've already come through for our cleanup. We're painting 10 houses today. And we just want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart. And this would not be reality unless Destiny Church was here today. I'm ready.
You are truly making a difference every single weekend when you attend, every time you give, and every time you just sit there and say, I'm going to step up and do something. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts, man. And today, the city of Indio just became a better place.
I've been shaking from my head on down to my toes. Lord, use me, take me where you want me to go. I can't help it, my heart.
Yeah, we want to say thank you for sowing into us. But here's what's so cool, man, that today in your paper, your pastor, Pastor Miles, was nominated with 5 other people the Person of the Year in San Diego. How many know that's pretty sweet, right? Because of you guys. You know, as I close tonight, my life was no different than many of you. Empty and searching. Kind of found many of those things to fill it in the wrong place. Started with my father leaving us and kind of being emotionally abandoned as a child, and just kind of crushed me being the oldest boy. And then I had friends that said they'd be there for me, and when it was all said and done, as soon as I had nothing to offer them, they were gone. Crushed me. I had some people in my life that I trusted, gave my heart to, and dropped it. And it crushed me. So for a very long time in my life looked like this. Broken. Crushed. It didn't matter how I fixed myself up, how I acted, where I went. When it was all said and done, my life was crushed. And when I would come to church and I'd hear this message, I'd sit there and go, really, God? You want this? Who am I? Well, why would you choose me? Why would you want to invest in me? Look at me. Look at my life. I can't tell you how many times I've allowed my shame and my past to talk me out of my future. My shortcomings to talk me out of my dreams. I stopped dreaming. I stopped living. But this was my life. It was crushed. The whole time, as Isaiah 46 and 10 says, God declares everything from the end to the beginning. God saw my life like this. When it was like this, You know, this water, this bottle will serve its purpose. When service is over with, I'll drink it, and it will fulfill what it's created to do. But if I told you to go to the store and go buy you a bottled water for $3, and it looked like this, there's no way you'd do it. Because you wouldn't invest in something like this. But God doesn't see it like this. He sees it like this. And he saw my life like this. And in all reality, if we want to be real, which we should be, there's really no difference between these two. There is one thing that defines it all, and it's one line, and it's right here. And here's what it says. This is a product that has been recycled. Can I tell you at one time? This, what you spent $3 to get, looked just like this. But you'd have never done it if it looked like this. I'm going to tell you how much God loves you and believes in you. He said, when your life's like this, he sees it like this. And you got to stop talking yourself out of this. When your life is like this. And when it's all said and done, all God wants you to do is dream again. It's what he wants, because he's placed a gift inside of you. He says, listen, here's how it's going to happen. You got to open up the gift first. And then once you open up the gift, I'll begin to remold you and I'll begin to reshape you. I'll begin to recycle you, but I promise I will replenish. Here's what you need to do. You open up your hand with the gift. And then one day, you're going to see the same people that hurt you. You're going to see the same people that crushed you. One day, you're going to see people, and they're going to look at you and say, what's happened to you? You don't look the same. Because the last time they saw you, you looked like this. And now you look like this. See, when you are like this, you need a miracle. But God wants you one day to be a miracle. When you're like this, you need the gift. But one day your life becomes the gift. And friends, let me tell you something. You could stay the way you are. You could sit there and say, tonight's my night. Tonight is my night, like hundreds have already, with every head bowed and every eyes closed. If you can't be honest in this place, you won't be honest anywhere. Because when it's all said and done, God's been honest with you. It's time for you to be honest with yourself. Because when it's all said and done, you're the only one. You're the only one that can cause change in your life. So with every head bowed, Clyde, no one looking around, and he's saying, Pastor Obed, this is me. My life is crushed. I feel like my life is crushed right now. But I know there's hope. I know that God, if God did it for you, he could do it for me. Pastor, I know. I can't tell you how many times I've talked myself out of the future God has for me because of things that have gone on in my past. Here it is. It's your time. And if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hands. 1, 2, 3, just lift them up really quick. Lift them up all over this place. Lift them up as your hands are being lifted. Look at hands are being lifted everywhere because you're being honest. And that's what it's all about. And if your hand is lifted up, listen, if you can't stand in here, you won't stand out there. I need you to follow that hand and stand up as quick as you can. Come on, just stand up. Stand up. Don't be ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of you. Come on, stand up. Stand up everywhere as you are. I can look at you. Look at all these people standing. Come on, all you standing. Here's what I need you to do. Here's what I need you to do. If you're standing, I need you to grab your stuff, and I want you to come to these altars because we're going to pray for you right now. Come on, grab your stuff. Come on, make this step towards your restoration today. God wants to restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have stolen. You are valuable. You are all that. God has it for your life right now. Come on, will you come right now? If there's any more, will you come? Will you make your way down right now? Today's your day to open up the gift. So that your life will be the gift. Come on, Rock. Let's give them a big God bless you. Come on. Come on, make your way up here. In Jesus' name. Come on, you keep on coming. There's more. There's more that are coming right now. Come on, the Holy Spirit is moving right now. Come on, come out of them chairs tonight. Come out of them chairs. Don't remain this way. There's more to life that God has for you. In Jesus' name. Here it is. As people are coming. Here's what we're gonna do. Nobody moving. Your car ain't gonna go nowhere. There ain't another service. And if you need to get somewhere, God will split the Red Sea to get you there. But here it is. Here it is. This is the holy moment. This is the holy moment. These people need you. They need you. Because when it's all said and done, I'm going home tonight. And you're the one that's going to journey with them. And here's what they did. They applauded you to come here. Let me tell you why they applauded you. Because for so long, the world has been booing you. They saw you like this. And the reason why the Rock applauds you is because they see you like this. Let me say this. Let me say this because my time is running out. Let me say this and I'm done. Here it is. You want to know why you're in the best state? You want to know why this is the best state to be in, even though you don't want to? It's because God has new wine for you. But new wine can never come to pass unless the grapes are crushed. God has fresh oil from you from heaven called an anointing. But anointing oil will never come unless the olive is crushed. You're crushing. Has a purpose for your pain. God's the turnaround God. And what the enemy has meant for bad, God's going to turn it around for the good right now. So we're going to pray right now. Will you pray this prayer as you open up this gift? Just say, Dear Jesus. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, Dear Jesus, please forgive me today. I ask you to come in my heart and be the Lord of my life. Take these broken pieces. Restore my life. Today, Jesus, I'm opening up the gift and I'm going to cherish it the rest of my life. I'm going to stop living for me and I'm going to start living for you. I'm born again and I'm saved now. Washed by the blood. It's my new day today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give them a big God bless you. Come on. Listen, we got a room for you. We got some people that are going to walk you. Would you make your way this way? Come on. Come on, make your way this way. Let's give them a big God bless you. Come on. Bless your heart, man. Come on. Make your way this way. Come on, people. Come on, let's give them a big God bless you, everybody. Bless you, my man. God loves you. Bless you, man. God loves you, my man. Bless you.